Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Hello, everybody. It is Wednesday, September 12th. Fantasy Sports Today, where we get you ready in all things fantasy and all things gambling, so you could win your leagues and win that cash. I'm your host today, Dane Martinez, Speed's the Spitting Statistician. Blewett is out today on a Wednesday, so we got my guy, the King, Scotty Angle, continuing to join me from Roto Experts in the morning. Scotty, we got a full 2 hours together. How you feeling waking up and spending 2 hours with the Spitting Statistician?
I like it. I'm very busy. Go over to rotoexperts.com, get your exclusive in-season edge, fantasy football package, enter the King, or even Speed to check out for a special discount. Hey, I do three hours with you. I do four. You know, whatever you
I like that, Scotty. No problem, man. Any time spent with the King talking about football is time that I absolutely love. Scotty, you know, we were talking last hour, but I want to, for our new listeners here that maybe just tune in at 8 a.m., just waking up, or anybody that downloads the show and listens to us as a podcast, we appreciate it all. So I want to catch you back up on some of the news and notes and some of the highlights. And remember, we got the number to call here is 844-843-6879. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. I am at Spittin' Speeds. The King is at Scotty Roto X. Scotty, the Eagles are going to announce who their starting quarterback is today. Doug Peterson is saying that they're going to make that announcement here on Wednesday. I believe it's trending to be Nick Foles again for week two as they are in Tampa Bay to take on the Bucs. I just think they need to be cautious with Carson Wentz. You know, they also saw Aaron Rodgers get banged up. That had to have a collective lump in people's throats about that one. They're going to announce their starter. I think it's trending to be Nick Foles again under center for the Eagles in week two.
Yeah, it's certainly looking that way. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, that's neither here nor there. They want to be careful with their franchise quarterback, period.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, however, Scott, you know, it took Philly part two in the season opener. Nick Foles did not look that good, okay? And he didn't look that great in the preseason either. Are you concerned with any of your Philadelphia skill position players if Nick Foles is still under center? I'm talking about guys like Ajayi, Ertz, Aguilar.
I think, you know, Ajayi, he'll get more carries this week. Not as concerned, especially with the injuries that you talked about in the last hour on the Atlanta defense. With Aguilar, you know, he's certainly got a radar for him. And, you know, as long as Alshon Jeffrey's out, there's going to be volume. You know, Ertz is the guy that I think I'm a little bit more concerned about than anything else here. But, look, Nick Foles is who he is. We saw him get hot. You know, we've seen quarterbacks get hot, you know, during Super Bowl runs. And then it's, you know, happened with Eli Manning, too. Eli Manning's been very up and down throughout his career. You know, Joe Flacco's been more steady than the guys we're talking about, you know, overall. But, you know, Eli has had bad years, good years, et cetera. Foles has had bad years and really bad, you know, good years and really bad stretches. So you never know which one's going to show up there. And, you know, right now it's looking like bad Foles. You know, with Eli, it's like, it's very interesting because when the Sunday show with Jim Day, it's like, they, you know, Giant fans are complaining about Eli Manning and saying, you know, we'd rather have Phillip Rivers. You know what? Phillip Rivers has never done anything in the playoffs. When Eli Manning got hot, he won the Giants 2 Super Bowls. For all those Giant fans that want to give Eli Manning back, when you give Eli Manning back for Phillip Rivers, you're giving back 2 Super Bowls. So I don't get that.
Yeah, no, I hear that. It's just like a lot of Giants fans like to complain, and Eli has been a whipping boy for a while, even though he has delivered two Lombardi trophies to that fan base. Scotty, another piece of news that we saw yesterday. I need you to help me make sense about this. The Oakland Raiders have brought Martavis Bryant back into the fold. Okay, now they traded a third-round pick for this guy. They knew that there was this kind of cloud hanging over him with the Pittsburgh Steelers in terms of maybe a positive test, you know, kind of a disgruntled kind of guy. They trade for him using a third round pick. Then they cut him. And then 10 days later, after they have a bad showing on Monday Night Football, they decide to re-sign him. Help me make sense of this move. Do you think Martavis Bryant dresses? Do you think he gets snaps? And does this make you even more concerned about guys like Jordy Nelson and or Amari Cooper?
I think it's just a case of the Raiders trying to challenge defenses with more talent. I don't think it cuts into the production of anybody else. I mean, what did we see last week? You know, we didn't see anything from these receivers. So I think it's just a strategic move more than anything. That the impact's not going to be felt in the fantasy world or overall.
All right, one of the reasons why, you know, we had a poll question up also last hour, and a lot of people are saying that Amari Cooper, I've gotten Twitter questions about dropping Amari Cooper. I think it's okay to bump him down, but even if you bump him down, he's still probably a wide receiver three or a flex play, certainly remains viable on your bench. You shouldn't drop Amari Cooper, but one of my questions is this. You know, last year, we started to realize that whoever your wide receiver was, you're going to fade them a little bit going against the Jacksonville Jaguars in that secondary. Is this all we're seeing now with some of the Raiders, that they went up against a very good secondary in the Rams with Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters?
I think, you know, that's it. But, you know, then again, it gets challenging this week. Just as challenging for Denver. But, you know, what you want to see from Amari Cooper is, though, is to at least have a decent day. You know, against a good opponent. You know, this kid's supposed to have superstar talent. And we saw with Odell Beckham last week. You know, he played 74% of his snaps against Jalen Ramsey, and still ended up with 11 catches for 111 yards. That's what star players or good players do. Even in a tough matchup, they put up the numbers. You can't really invest any faith in Amari Cooper until he shows in a tough matchup that he can put up good numbers.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, that is what makes, you know, the true studs actually elite. It does not matter who they're facing on the other side. I remember last year, Scotty, I don't know if we talked about it, but, you know, a lot of people on this network were mentioning, as it related to not Martavis Bryant, but another Bryant, Dez, that what he was kind of like not able to beat the top cornerbacks in the league. When he had a plus matchup himself, sure, he could still do some work, but not when he was going up against any strong cornerbacks. You know, and so maybe that's the case with Amari Cooper as well. He's just not that kind of elite stud that is quote-unquote matchup-proof. 55% of the people in our poll, Scotty, say that Amari Cooper is the guy that they are most worried about. Another thing we talked about
I'm sorry to interrupt you, though, but sorry. I think with Dez and Cooper, it's different. Because Dez, you know, the skills had faded. You know, he wasn't as explosive outside the 20. It's almost like he became Jimmy Graham. It kind of reminded me of that, you know, where these guys were just like some injuries, like really taking the toll on them, and the talent just wasn't there anymore. The talent is there for Amari Cooper, but, you know, he's just not able to get open. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that I sit down, I don't have the time to break down film of every player. Maybe I need to do this with Amari Cooper, but I know it's not like Dez Bryant because the talent is certainly there, and I'm going to keep a closer eye on it. But for some reason, you know, this guy is just not getting open and not getting it done.
All right, we'll certainly keep an eye out on that. Scotty, you mentioned the Denver matchup is not, you know, not a good one. But remember, the Denver secondary is not what it was in years past. Aqib Talib has moved over. They still do have Roby. They still do have Chris Harris Jr. Another piece of news, Scotty. The Detroit Lions, there's some grumblings in their locker room. Okay, there were reports coming out yesterday that some of the veterans down there or up there in Detroit depending on where you are, but you could be listening in Canada, right? And then it is still down there in Detroit. But there's reports that some of the Lions are a little bit miffed at Matt Patricia and some of the kind of accountability and the rules that he put in place, kind of working them a little bit over the summer. And then they went ahead and defecated the mattress against the Jets on national television in Monday Night Football. This gives me cause for concern. You know, we talk about what player are we worried about. If you ask me what team you are most worried about, you know, obviously there's Buffalo, but we were worried about them to start off with, right? So for me, there's Dallas, but we were a little bit worried about their offensive line to start out with. For me, it is these Detroit Lions, you know. I mean, Stafford got really banged up. LeGarrette Blount sustained an injury. We'll get word on how extreme that is a little bit later on this week. We'll have Dr. A on as well. But when you hear veterans starting to chime in after only week one, I'm worried this could go off the rails for Matt Patricia and the Lions, Scott.
Yeah, it is 1 week, though. And, you know, they're not like they're going to have to fire him. So, you know, they're going to have to find a way to get on the same page here. And, you know, hopefully things will get better for Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I remember there's reports that maybe the Jets even knew what was going on, but they go on the road this week to San Francisco to take on the 49ers in what is their home opener, Scott, and then in week three they come back home, but for the New England Patriots, it doesn't get any easier for the Detroit Lions. Also, last thing I want to mention in terms of news and notes, the Browns have now listed Josh Gordon as a starter alongside Jarvis Landry there. The Browns, hey, Scotty, the Browns go into New Orleans this week, all right? Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Tampa Bay Bucks put up 48 points against them, and now Cleveland and our boy Terod comes into town with Jarvis Landry and Josh Gordon. There's some people that are like, oh my God, the Saints defense is giving up so many points. I'm liking all the Browns this week. I would be kind of a little bit on the other side saying, whoa. First of all, that week one was a divisional matchup, and we know about divisional games that it all looks a little bit different. And third, I think the Saints are primed to bounce back in a big way week two. Are you considering this maybe something of an overreaction theater as well as it relates to the Saints?
Yeah, I think you know what happens here. Football is a game of adrenaline, and football is a game of emotion. And when a defense gets embarrassed like that, they close the locker room doors, and they fire everyone up to come out and play better the next week. So, yeah, I'm definitely expecting the Saints to play much, much better this week. I think from a team of that quality, you're not going to see a performance like that 2 weeks in a row, especially against a non-divisional opponent.
I agree. The non-conference road games are very tough. This is also a team, the Cleveland Browns, who I don't know how much you believe in these narratives, Scott, but still have to quote-unquote learn how to win. You know, they've won only one game in the last two seasons. Even last week, they did not win. You know, kind of a lot of things going in their favor, and they still only could get the tie. They go on down to New Orleans, the non-conference road game. Scott, you and I both think the Saints maybe are primed to bounce back defensively, but it's a big point spread, Scotty. The Saints are 9-point favorites at home against the Cleveland Browns. Would you lay that much as well? You see them blowing them out by double digits. Do you see something like a 31-17 kind of game, or do you think it's closer and take the Browns with the points?
Yeah, I think it's more like a 31-17 kind of game.
Yeah, okay, so you're comfortable even with 9 points, you know, having to give up? All right, fair enough. Okay, let's look in some of these other games. We're still talking about the 1 o'clock slate on Sunday. Here's one that I'm intrigued by, okay? And this one, to me, is where overreactions for week one could also play into it. The Los Angeles Chargers travel to Buffalo to take on the Bills, Scotty. Now listen, we all saw the Buffalo Bills. We all saw them defecate the mattress in week one. We don't know if it's going to be you know, Peterman, or if it's going to be Josh Allen. We've been talking on this network about them not throwing Josh Allen to the Wolves behind that offensive line, and the Chargers do have a pass rush. We don't know if Joey Bosa is going to play because he's got a foot injury, but guess what? They still would have Melvin Ingram, and he can push the pressure as well on the quarterback. I think everybody is so down on the Bills, right, because of the goose egg that they laid in week one, but the Chargers, you know, they also lost at home to the very impressive Kansas City Chiefs offense. A lot of people think the Chargers, you know, you and I both have them winning the division. We both have them in the playoffs. So I can see everyone thinking that the Chargers, this is an easy win. I can see the Chargers being a lot of people's survivor picks this week as people just bet against, in essence, the Buffalo Bills. But one of the narratives that I always talk about, Scott, I don't know if I have your take on this yet. The bettors think about it as well, is this West Coast team traveling to the East Coast for the 1 o'clock time game, for that 1 o'clock early slate games, when we talk about people's body clocks and things like that. Do you believe in that as real science, or you think that that's just a narrative that doesn't hold any water, the West Coast traveling east for the 1 o'clock slate?
I think it gets overrated. I think it depends on the quality of the team. You know, it's just some teams, no matter how good they are, if they play in the West Coast, they travel and they win on the East Coast. You know, it's I got to go back to, you know, being a Seahawk fan, and you know, when years when they weren't good, you know, they didn't travel well. But years in those, in that past half decade, when they were one of the better teams in the NFL, especially in 2013, 2014. It didn't matter when or where they played. If they were better than the other team, they were going to beat them. So it depends on the quality of the opponent. Now, I think things even out, because if you're going to take the travel into account, because it's not like the Chargers have shown they're capable of being a Super Bowl contender yet, it cancels out between the difference in quality between the two teams. So to me, it's that washes it away. But I think one thing you have to take into account is Buffalo's going to be at home. They've just gotten embarrassed. They take the intangible factor into it, and I think they're just going to play better than they did last week, even though the Chargers are the better team. They're not going to win this game, but I don't think they're going to lay down like the dogs they were last week.
Right. So when you see a 7.5-point spread, are you comfortable? You know, that's more than a touchdown, Scotty. All right. So the Bills are 7.5-point home opener underdogs. Would you think the Chargers win the game by more than a touchdown, or would you take the Bills with the points, even though they got blown out?
I think the Chargers are just too good of a team not to take them. I think the Bills are going to hang in for a while, but they're probably going to lose by 10.
All right, fair enough. Kind of pull away in the second half. We got a caller as well that we're going to take here before break. It is Matt in Boston. Hey, Matt, you're on Fantasy Sports Today. How can we help you out? It sounds like you got a trade offer.
Yeah,
we have Matt. There we go.
I got offered Howard for Kelsey and Cobb. Wondering what you would do with that.
You would be receiving Kelsey. Jordan Howard? You'd be receiving Jordan Howard?
Yes, correct.
And it's a PPR or standard?
I've got Colvin and Crowell and Marlon Mack.
You have who and Crowell?
Tevin Coleman.
Crowell, Tevin Coleman, Marlon Mack, and then Kerryon Johnson I'm waiting for.
Okay, and you said you would have to give up Kelsey?
Kelsey and Cobb.
Who would be your tight end then? Would you be on the waiver wire at tight end, or do you have like another tight end already?
I've got Ertz, but you don't have to play a tight end in this league.
Oh, listen, if you have Ertz already, then to me, Scott, I'll get your answer also. Then to me, Kelsey is the exact kind of piece you want to dangle to improve what is a okay running back situation. And Jordan Howard would represent your best running back. Scotty, for me, because he has Zach Ertz, that makes Kelsey kind of expendable. And this is the exact kind of thing he should be targeting in his team for a guy like Kelsey. I would take the Jordan Howard. I personally would do it. What do you think, Scotty?
I think he's given up too much, and you know, his backfield's very weak, and I think another owner's trying to take advantage of him. Even though he doesn't have to play a tight end, I think Kelsey for Howard is fair enough, and the other guy still gets the better end of the deal. And you're giving up Randall Cobb too. It's giving up too much. You got to get quality player back.
Try and do it as a 1-for-1 or get something back as a 2-for-2. Thanks for the call. When we come back, more Fantasy Sports Today. Dane and Scott, we're looking at week 2.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
day. Dane Martinez and Scott Engelin from Mike Blewett here as we help you win your leagues and win that cash. Remember, if you want to join the party, the number to call is 844-843-6879. Matt in Boston just talked about a trade offer. I said you needed to do it to try and get an improvement at running back. Scott says that you're giving up too much. We continue to talk about it during the break. And what Scott and I do agree on is that given the what it sounds like in that roster for Matt in Boston is that he has a strength at tight end, right? And you can leverage that to try to help the positions you're weaker at, in this case, running back. But, you know, Scott just thinks he's given up a little bit too much. I think the need at running back for Matt in Boston is pretty urgent. Scott, the better question is, how do you wind up with Kelce and Ertz on your roster?
It's not good drafting, especially if you don't have to start a tight end. It's just, it's not good drafting. It's, you know, with the situation he's got now, he's desperate for a running back. And other teams realize they got him over for a barrel. And if he gives up two for Jordan Howard, that's a desperation trade. Now, look, he does need to improve. But, you know, the games don't start till at least tomorrow. And you have to keep negotiating. You can't get ripped off. Randall Cobb is worth something to some people right now in his league. And that's obvious because somebody else is asking for him. And they expect the Packers to throw a live ball a lot. He's healthy for now. I'm all about trading Randall Cobb because he can never stay healthy. But just one medium range running back two is not enough for these two guys.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And listen, you and I both have been high on Geronimo Allison as an ascending wide receiver in Green Bay. I do think he needs to improve his running back situation. I do think he has a position of strength in tight end. I hear you that maybe he's given up too much. So maybe try to counter Matt in Boston with the idea of just maybe a one-for-one like the Kelce for Howard straight up. Or, you know, get him to throw somebody else in the deal if it's going to be a two-for-two. I'm intrigued, though, like when you were at your draft and you like already had Travis Kelce, what was it in your mind that decided like in the, oh, I don't know, Scott, what it was, maybe the fifth round, that he needed to go ahead and draft Zach Ertz when he already had Travis Kelce? That to me is the more interesting question, but I want to let people know that they need to go on over, you know, we're going into the week two lines and what we like our early leans. And if you like what we're calling here, you need to go on over to BetDSI. They are celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of your winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. Use the promo code FNTSY because BetDSI is offering a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. Head on over there and start winning today. Use the promo code FNTSY and go on over to BetDSI.com. I also want to let people know, if they didn't know by now, one of our Daily Roto subscribers won the FanDuel Millie Maker on week one, okay? $1 million. And that is now the seventh, that's right, seventh millionaire winner because of Daily Roto, or amongst our Daily Roto subscribers and team. We make millionaires. So check it out. Go on over to dailyroto.com, click on Go Premium, and find out how you can party with our successful community of daily fantasy players. Scotty, we were talking about some of the games. We were looking at some of the early lines. One of the things we also talked about is because in some leagues, waivers run, you know, kind of like Tuesday overnight into Wednesday. But some leagues run their waivers Wednesday evening. Okay, so we got a little pocket of time right now where some leagues have already run their waivers and others have not. So what we want to do, Scotty, is we want to look at some leagues that you're in, right, and where the waivers and the fab budget have run, where some of the guys that we talked about, you know, some of the guys we talked about yesterday, the Brandon Marshalls, the Philip Lindsays, you know, those kind of guys, how much did they get bid on, you know, and how much did it cost in some cases to go ahead and get them on your roster in waiver wires? This is giving you a little bit of context. You know, so Scott, the guys I'm most interested in that were probably the biggest ads on waiver wires this week, I'm thinking about the running back, Philip Lindsay out of Denver, and I'm thinking about Brandon Marshall, who were kind of my big waiver guys that I was targeting. I'm concerned about Doug Baldwin and his injury history. I think Brandon Marshall represents a red zone target for the Seattle Seahawks. I like Brandon Marshall. I was thinking about adding him myself, but I had the number one waiver priority in my league, and I really think that that is valuable, Scott. I'm holding my number one waiver priority a little bit later on into the season until maybe I suffer an injury among my starters or something like that. But Brandon Marshall was probably heavily added. How did he, how much did it cost in your league?
$100 fab in my my auction
okay.
league.
Out of 100,
Brandon Marshall went to $18, and Philip Lindsay went for twice that much at 36.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. 30. What do you think about that, Scott? Spending 35% of your fab budget on a guy who came out of nowhere, and to be quite honest, in my opinion, at best, is really kind of like a PPR play. Like Royce Freeman's going to be the early down guy there in Denver.
Yeah, to me, it's like a Tariq Cohen, Theo Riddick-ish kind of play where you carry the ball more than Riddick. So Tariq Cohen or Darren Sproles may be a better comparison.
Chris Thompson.
No, he's not as explosive as Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson, from a scouting perspective, nobody is more dangerous to take it into the house once he gets past the linebacker than Chris Thompson. He has more pure upside to score from anywhere on the field than anybody except maybe other than Tariq Cohen. So I don't see him. I don't see Lindsay being as explosive at those guys. He did have a 31-yard touchdown reception, but that was because of a defensive breakdown. I do like the kid, though. You know, I don't like him as maybe as much as a Cohen or a Thompson. But you know, I don't need a running back, so I only threw in a $6 bid on him.
Yeah, I wasn't going to put much into it either. Brandon Marshall, you mentioned, was around 20% of the fab budget. Do you think that's about right? If people are targeting Brandon Marshall in their waiver run, you know, you mentioned $100. Some teams have $1,000. So I talk about it in terms of kind of like percentages. Do you think 20% of your fab budget is kind of right for Brandon Marshall? Or would you, if you really wanted him, would you go on up to 25?
Yeah, that's a good point because it really depends on how much you need on Brandon Marshall. It's like I didn't even throw a bid in on him because I just don't have any room for another wide receiver on that roster. So if you really needed him, $18 out of 100 or 180 out of 1,000 is very fair. I think there's still some skepticism on Brandon Marshall at 34 years old and how much he has left compared to past seasons. So I don't think there's anybody, and you can look at my waiver wire report on rotoexperts.com or it's syndicated by the AP today. There's no real huge difference makers on the waiver wire this week. So you have to be careful about overspending.
Yeah, I agree with you, okay? I agree with you. And this is part of, like, the overreactions of week one, you know? There's the hot picks, and people want to get them on their roster. Remember what we say, though. You are worrying about your team, really, Thanksgiving and beyond. And is Philip Lissy going to be, like, that guy you start in week 14 of the playoffs? Probably not. And the same thing goes Brandon Marshall.
Sorry, if I'm Matt from Boston, I aggressively have to bid.
Sure.
Because even if he trades for Jordan Howard, I don't like the rest of his running backs. So it depends on
that
context.
Is a good point. Yes, it depends on your context. It depends on your team and where your need is. You know, like there are some, if you're Matt from Boston, you ain't putting anything in on a guy like Jared Cook or a guy like George Kittle because you already got those two tight ends. You know, if you're a team, though, that lost Delanie Walker, you need to kind of worry about your positional need, you know. And I even talked to my guy, Mike Blewett, right? We share a team in that Carton and Friends League. Scotty, we put up like 215 in week one, you know. We're definitely sitting pretty. But I told Blewett this, you know, we originally, you know, we put in a waiver claim on Alfred Morris, you know, because he's a starting running back there. But then I talked to Blewett and I was like, listen, Blewett, our running backs are really strong and are only going to get stronger over time because of guys like Mark Ingram, because of guys like Sony Michel, who we have that we believe will be better. You know, we have James Conner right now for the interim, so that's all good. But I told him, listen, I think we're a little bit weak at wide receiver. So that being said, I don't want to spend all of our fab budget on a guy like Alfred Morris, because when the wide receiver that we like becomes available, we need to have all the ammunition necessary to go out and get a wide receiver, because that's our positional need where we're fine at running back. Do you agree with that, Scotty?
Yeah, I agree with that too. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, you guys have a little bit of luxury there, you know, in your backfield now too.
Exactly, but I'm just saying, you know, it's not about my team. You know, I'm just talking about the concept here. Where you are deeper, there's even less of a need to go out there and rush and be overreactive to the, you know, the star of the day, shall we
here's
say.
A, here's a good point, too. Here's What's a good up? Point, too. You can't have everybody on waivers. People in 10-team leagues go nuts because they always like something they see on the waiver wire that's buzzed about. A lot of times when we're talking about waiver wires as a blanket, we're usually talking about 12-team leagues. But, you know, people want who they want on waivers. You have to understand you can't fit everybody onto your roster if you play in a 10-team league or if your team is very good. You'll have to let those guys go by the boards because ultimately it comes down to a decision. Is who on the free agent list I have better than who's on my roster? And even though I want that guy and I don't want to miss on him, sometimes there's nobody you can cut.
Absolutely, and I had that a lot of people asking me those kind of questions on Twitter as well, being like, oh my God, I got to pick up this guy. And I'm like, okay, well, who are you going to drop? You know what I mean? And they're like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to drop Geronimo Allison. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I like Geronimo Allison. And people will be like, oh, I think I'm going to drop Chris Godwin. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, we like Chris Godwin. This is all relative. It's relative to your roster, your needs. It's relative to the depth of your league, as you mentioned, how many teams there, you know, your league settings, all that stuff. Our guy Rich, friend of the show on Twitter, he's saying in his league, Lindsay went for 35% of the budget. Marshall went for only 12% of the budget, so a little bit less than what you're saying, Scott, where Lindsay was, you know, kind of the same as what you're talking about. And also, in your league, Scott, I don't know if this guy was already on rosters or if he was a waiver ad. What about our guy Quincy Inunwa, who I think is an important waiver kind of run ad? I think he may be one of the prime targets for Sam Darnold. It looks like Robbie Anderson and Terrell Pryor are more down the field, and Inunwa is the guy on some of these RPOs and, you know, a little bit more the intermediate routes. Was Inunwa already rostered, or did he get claimed on waivers in this league, Scott?
No, he went undrafted in a lot of leagues, especially like about, I would say, all of my 10-team leagues. Well, 9 out of my 10 leagues, he was a free agent, and he went for $11.
$11. I think that's about right. You know, I mean, to be quite honest, you know, would you – so let's put it this way. Let's compare the two. Let's say $100 fab budget, Scotty. Would you rather spend 10 bucks on Inunwa or 20 on Marshall? I think Inunwa because
I'd rather
I think
go 10
role...
on Inunwa because I feel like – I feel like he's going to rack up more catches. I feel like Russell Wilson's going to spread the ball around a little bit more.
Yeah, and also for me, the Marshall thing is a little bit dependent on the status of Doug Baldwin, right? Whereas the Inunwa thing, those guys are there, and Inunwa's role, I think, is more stable than Brandon Marshall.
It's defined, yes.
Right, defined. I guess that's a better, you know, stable, defined, that sort of thing. The last question I want to ask you on this, Scotty, in this segment, and then next segment, you know, we'll have the phone lines open if you want to give us a call at 844-843-6879. You know, people talk about these waivers. The other thing I want to say, and this is different from fab budget, if you're in a league where it's just like waiver priority and you have like the number two or the number one waiver priority this early in the season, one of the things I mentioned, Scott, is like that in itself is an asset, is a commodity. The idea that you have the number one waiver claim, because you know if you really need to down the road in a couple weeks, you can just pull the trigger on a guy you actually do need if you lose your starting tight end to injury or something like that. Talk to me about the value of having the number one waiver priority, because when I have that, especially early in the season, Scott, I'm less likely to pull the trigger because I want that as a, you know, as kind of like a safety net for me in case I sustain a real injury, as opposed to some of these guys that you're mentioning I might want to pick up because they're hot to trot for 1 week, but are still not going to start for me on a week-to-week basis. Do you believe that the number one waiver priority is in fact an asset in itself?
Of course, it always is an asset, but my friend on Twitter, AV812, is asking me about this yesterday. You know, just I just pass and keep the waiver pick. It's, you know, let it roll to the next one. It's like I never think about that. It's I always have to go out. I don't want to, like, you know, miss on that next guy, or even if I don't need him because maybe I could trade him. You know, just have the number one waiver pick the next following week. I'm always thinking in the moment. And, you know, if I always do my contingency bids and, you know, have, like, if I'm going to cut somebody and, you know, there's three running backs I want, you know, I'll have a good chance, even if I'm in the top nine, to get one of those three, which I did last night. So I don't concern myself with that. I always want to go out. I always want to improve my team when I have the opportunity. I'm not going to be that conservative to pass, you know, just to save the waiver pick for the following week. It's too speculative for me.
It's too speculative to you. Let me try and push you on this, because I do like having the number one waiver, and I would hold it, all things being equal. But what I'm also talking about, a 14-team super flex league where every quarterback in the league is rostered already. You know what I mean? And in that kind of situation, because quarterbacks matter so much and it's such a kind of differentiator, if you could put that quarterback in your flex spot, that's part of the reason I hold it. Because if I get an injury to one of my starting quarterbacks, I want the ability to go get another starting quarterback in the NFL. And in my deep kind of dynasty leagues where two quarterbacks are being used, you may not be able to find one. There are teams that roster three quarterbacks in this kind of format. So that's part of why I hold it. Does that make sense a little bit more in that format?
It does. You know, it does. Nothing in fantasy football is absolute and applies to every single league. I think what I said applies more to the, you know, the majority of the leagues, but nothing's absolute or, you know, across the board. If you have a league where it's very, very devoid, like my Dynasty League of free agents, then maybe you want to do that. But there's other ways to get around that, too. It's like, you know, the two quarterback league, I'll very often handcuff my quarterbacks.
Right. That is possible, you know, but a way that you could ensure doing that without having to carry that roster spot the whole time is with that waiver wire priority. So, yeah, there's plenty of ways, different strokes for different folks and ways to attack it. I hear you on that. Scotty, also, you got to hear me. That Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site with exclusively single entry contests. It's a fun and recreational way to play with smaller leagues, kind of flatter prize pools. They have great free promotions like Survivor, Super Bowl squares, and March Madness brackets. Sign up today. Go on over to fantasyfactor.com. That's fantasyfactor.com. And if you did that this week and you had some of the Daily Roto info, you probably did big. Because remember, Daily Roto, one of our subscribers, was the winner of the Millionaire Maker on FanDuel. All the more reason you need to go on over to dailyroto.com and check out all the tools and advice that they have there. They make millionaires over on dailyroto.com. Scotty, we're going to take the last break of the morning. When we come back, we'll dive into some more of these week two early lines and point spreads. There's some spotlight games that I'm very intrigued by, the national quote-unquote games of the week that I'm interested in. We'll dig into, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and New England, Jacksonville when we come back, all right? Dane and Scott, Fantasy Sports Today.
Marcus Cato is a baseball-loving 20-year-old Californian. In May, he was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. Marcus now needs a bone marrow transplant from an unrelated donor to survive. The National Bone Marrow Registry is made up of only 7% African Americans, which means Marcus, who is biracial, faces a unique challenge to find a match. Text INVOLVE to 50555 to join DKMS in the fight to help Marcus and others get a second chance at life.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We got the King, Scott Engel, in for Mike Blewett today. He'll be back tomorrow. And you know, the spitting statistician is holding you down Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scotty, we've been talking about waiver wires. We had some targets from yesterday at each position. We talk about how much some of these guys are going for. Brandon Marshall, Quincy Enunwa, Lindsey as well. There are a couple of other guys that you wanted to mention that maybe we haven't talked about just yet on the kind of waiver wire idea. Are you going to even mention your guy Eric Ebron because with Jack Doyle there in Indianapolis? Or are you not believing in Eric Ebron?
No, I have some belief in Ebron. I think he's going to be more of a red zone guy, but Doyle's going to catch more passes. I'd rather have Ebron in the standard. But I think both will be useful, although I prefer Doyle's clearly in a PPR. Janu Smith went for $3. Ryan Fitzpatrick went for $3. Cole Beasley, which I think is a really nice PPR pickup, he went for $3. And I also got Nyheim Hines for $4.
I like that a lot. I like the Nyheim Hines only in PPR settings. I like me some Nyheim Hines. That's a good one. The idea of Ryan Fitzpatrick is interesting. Scotty, I'm only picking up, I mean, are you picking up Ryan Fitzpatrick as like a 1-2 week thing? Or are you picking up Ryan Fitzpatrick because you believe he is the starting quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I'd be picking up Ryan Fitzpatrick just in case last week turns out not to be some sort of illusion, although I don't believe in it, but I'm not spending a lot because,
right.
A, you know, he may not start for more than 4 weeks, and, you know, B, he could easily go back and tank. You know, as a Jet fan, I think you probably remember, I think it was 1994, I want to say, Neil O'Donnell came out
with
four touchdown passes and a huge game in the season opener, and then we didn't hear nothing the rest of the year.
This is true. I thought you were going to go somewhere else as the Jets fan, but that's okay. You know, there's plenty of examples of guys who are flashes in the pan for the Jets. Browning, Nagel, Glenn Foley among them.
Didn't Rex Grossman have a four-touchdown game once?
Yeah, he probably did, but, you know, Ray Lucas and Tim Tebow have had some games for the J-E-T-S, Jets as well, but I digress. That Cole Beasley one is interesting.
Not on that level, I don't think.
I guess, you know, I mean, listen, the Jets had Tom Tupa, okay,
having
to play
O'Donnell
a game.
Yeah, but O'Donnell threw for like 380 yards and four touchdowns.
He did. I should be honest, when you started talking about the Jets, I thought you were going to talk about what Ryan Fitzpatrick was able to do one season with the Jets when he had Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. You know, he in a similar situation where he came in for a guy who got injured, you know, was not expected to be the guy, and then came on in for the Jets. He's now kind of doing a similar thing for Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay this week, what do they have, Scotty? Tampa Bay, they host the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, it's going to be tougher this week.
It is tough with that pass rush,
Fitzpatrick,
right?
Is a guy who goes in cycles. This is why he's a backup, because, you know, he can have a big game here and there, but then there's long stretches where, or long, entire seasons when he's going to be mediocre. And, you know, with that year for the Jets, just everything clicked. He got the big contract, and, you know, then you know, he didn't show anything the following year. A lot of his receivers were hurt. You know, both Decker and Marshall got hurt that year. Matt Forte was a mistake. But, you know, you can't rely on Ryan Fitzpatrick. But then again, they can't rely on Jameis Winston either.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I think that when we are at Halloween, you know, week 7, week 8, whatever that is, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucs. You know, you and I have been down on Jameis Winston for a while. I just don't believe he's a leader of men. I believe Dirk Cutter knows that he's on the hot seat himself, and I think he's going to ride Fitzmagic as long as he possibly can. But that's just my own personal opinion. Feel free to differ. What I will say, though, Scotty, is that there's a poll question we have up right now. 57% of the people say that Amari Cooper is the guy they are most worried about, although our guy Carl Anderson, who I know you have experience with on Twitter, differs. He says he's not worried about Cooper. This is fourth year for Amari Cooper, and he's on his third offensive coordinator. That is true. Carl Anderson thinks he'll progress as the season continues. He'll probably have better cornerback matchups than, you know, he faced in week one with the Los Angeles Rams, but it is interesting. The field is divided on Amari Cooper. Scotty,
here's one thing with Amari Cooper real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a very pivotal year for him, and I think John Gruden knows that, because not just Fantasy Nation, but just Raider Nation. You know, if this guy doesn't show something this year, you're going to have to wonder, like, is he just a bust? This is a pivotal year for him now, and more than anything, what Carl says, it's an intangible thing right now. You know, they got to get the kid's head straight, because the talent is there, and nobody's going to want to draft Amari Cooper next year if he doesn't put it together this year. He is going to become the Jason Hayward of fantasy football if he doesn't do anything this year.
Very interesting analogy, and I buy it, you know, and what you say I think is good, not even for fantasy football, Scott, but for Amari Cooper. You know, like, this is his fourth year in the league, right? After this year, the Oakland Raiders are going to have to decide, do they want to pick up that fifth-year option, okay? And that's really important for rookies coming out. You know, it could go the Corey Coleman route where it's not picked up and he's kind of, you know, his career is in decline, or it could go the route of, you know, Mike Evans. Higgins, Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, and those guys could get paid. So a very important year for Amari Cooper. Scotty, we don't have much time left, so I want to go into two games that are kind of the spotlight games, in my opinion, of week two, certainly at least in the AFC. The Kansas City Chiefs travel to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers in their home opener. Now, listen, for the Steelers, we know about the Le'Veon Bell, James Conner thing. A lot of people are asking me about Big Ben. You know, kind of, he's got a minor elbow issue, they say. But listen, you know what narrative has been proven about Big Ben? That he's much better at home than he is on the road. He's coming back home in the Steelers' home opener, and they're facing that Kansas City pass defense, Scott, which we've both said we are going to attack all season long. Last week, Phillip Rivers put over 425 yards up. You know, I think the conditions are there for Big Ben to have a good game this week.
I think it is. If you go to the Inside Injuries Roundup on rotoexperts.com on the homepage right now, completely going around the league, and they talk about you know, how Ben Roethlisberger's played through a lot of injuries, and this is a minor one, so he should be okay. I think big days for Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, maybe even Jesse James gets in the end zone this week. Another good week for James Conner. You know, this game has the potential makings of a shootout here, so whatever the over is, I'm taking it.
The over-under on this game, though, Scotty, I mean, Vegas is on the same page. I don't know if you want to say that. It is the highest over-under of the week and of the season, Scotty. The over-under on this game is 53.
I'll take
you still
that.
Like it?
The
That's 30 to 23.
Two weeks old. So, you know, highest over-under season. Doesn't matter. You know, this game's going to be like, 30 to 27, 34, 31, something like that.
All right. Fair enough, one of those good AFC matchups. I'll be tuned in, and I hope there's points left and right in this game, and most people expect it. You mentioned a lot of the skill position players for Pittsburgh, and you mentioned Jesse James. Some people are asking me on the waiver wire, what about Vance McDonald if he's back healthy?
When is he back healthy? You know, the guy is always getting hurt. And, you know, Ben does like his tight end, but McDonald's not on my radar enough because the guy's frequently injured. He makes Jordan Reed look durable.
He's in the same vein as Tyler Eifert and Jordan Reed at the tight end position. But Scott, if he is healthy, is he the starting tight end in Pittsburgh?
I see them throw the Jesse James sometimes, even when McDonald's is in there. Not a guy that I want. It's like, you know, and I don't roster Ben Watson either. It's like, you know, Ben Watson to me, I don't see it. You know, between weeks 1 and 17, he had one game where he went over 45 yards last year. You know, I'm not rostering Ben Watson.
All right, so we talked about some other tight ends that you like instead. We mentioned Jonnu Smith. I know you talked about Ian Thomas as well. Some of these guys are more off the radar, but young kids ascending rather than the same old guys that are injury-prone like a Vance McDonald. Scotty, the last game I want to talk about today, I think, is, you know, huge game in the AFC, a rematch of the AFC Championship game. The New England Patriots this time are down in Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. My biggest question for you is this. How are you playing T.J. Yeldon? Okay, because they're saying that Fournette and the hamstring is okay. We've seen him be, like, questionable like this before. I know we'll get more details on his injury. But, you know, do you expect Fournette to just handle the same workload? How are you treating these running backs for the Jags in this game?
I don't know yet. We just don't know yet. We won't know till at least Friday. It's a question. Sometimes there's just not answers to these kind of questions. And there isn't an answer right now. We don't know if Fournette's going to be out, if he's going to be a game-time decision, et cetera. It's very, very murky right now. You know, look, if you have a running back on Thursday night that you got to use over one of these guys, you're probably going to have to do that because, you know, the situation is very murky. And then I'm already getting questions on Twitter. So I'm worried about Brady this week. Should I bench him and use Matt Ryan? It's like, look, like I said last week, you saw with Odell Beckham against Jacksonville. Right. Okay, the let's remember here, and I'm talking to some of our regular listeners who have asked me this already on Twitter. The defense doesn't always win the matchup by default, especially when you're talking going against a superstar. Tom Brady has faced the best defenses in the league over his career. You don't bench Tom Brady no matter who he faces. I don't care if it's the 85 Bears, if it's the 2013 Seahawks, the 2000 Ravens, and you're playing Madden, I don't bench Tom Brady.
All right, fair enough. I agree with you. You're not benching Tom Brady. What I do think is a little bit more interesting for the Patriots is the running back situation, though, Scotty, okay? It was Burkhead and James White in week one. Jeremy Hill has already been put on IR. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL. But we may get the return to action of Sony Michel, changing the composition of this running back room. We know about the Jaguars' defense, yada, yada, yada. What do you expect from the Patriots' running backs? Does Sony Michel, you know, let's say he's active. Let's, for this conversation, let's assume Michel does continue to trend back. How are you playing the Patriots running backs? Now it's Burkhead, Michel, and James White.
You can't yada the Jaguars defense, but I don't think you're going to see too much from Michel initially. I think it's going to be a lot of Burkhead running the ball and James White catching the ball. I wouldn't expect too much work from him initially.
Yeah, you know, Sony Michel is probably going to have to work his way back in over time. But I do think he's going to be someone that you may want to have on your radar and you may want to own a little bit later on in the season. Hey, Scotty, we got through 2 hours today. Mike Blewett is back here on FST tomorrow. But you and I will do it again as we cock-a-doodle-do it bright and early in the morning on Roto Experts in the morning on a Thursday show. What we're going to do is we'll dive into the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens as they start week two of the NFL season, and we'll also have your week two ranks. So we'll talk a little bit about who you're high on, who you think is a fugazi to help people win their leagues and win that cash. Fantasy Sports Today, Carton and Friends up next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hey, Scotty, have a great day. Work on those week two ranks, all right?
Red Sox celebration next.